You know, sometimes in our life, things can happen. We can have troubles come our way to where we say, you know what, I need something bigger than myself. I need the Lord to help me out. As some of you know, over the last few weeks, my father-in-law had a stroke, so we've been caring for him. Then last Saturday night, my mother-in-law fell and broke her foot. And so it seemed like, well, a lot of things are piling on. So this week, I've been thinking this thought. I need to go back to the Word of God and take a look at His promises. In difficult times, He's got a lot of promises there for us. And I looked at the definition of a promise. It's a declaration or an assurance that one will do a particular thing. It doesn't say might do it. You know, that tells us this gets past human. I can tell you, I promise you I'm going to do something, and something could happen that I can't fulfill it. But if we would think about God's promises, it says, or that a particular thing is going to happen. You know, I can tell you next Tuesday it's going to rain. I don't know, it may and it may not. You know what, if God says something is going to happen, it's going to come about. So here's what I want to share with you for a little while. I notice, and there's different ones as they look through the Bible and they find how many promises there are. One of them that I looked up, it says they found 7,487 promises by God to mankind. That's a lot of promises. What I want to share with you today is something that the Lord talked to me about, because to me, promises are all just positive things. I love positive things in my life, and I want to start thinking about positive things. But the Lord started dealing with me this week, said, I want you to make two folders in your mind about promises that I make. One is God's good promises, and one is God's bad promises. Now, we will sometimes think of a bad promise, because I'm human, a bad promise is one that I said I would do and I didn't fulfill it. That doesn't apply to God. To God, a bad promise is one that He tells us, you've got a choice to make here. And which way you make the choice, I'll tell you what's going to be the result for that choice. This direction, this bad promise that I'm telling you about, is going to be the negative impact it's going to have on your life if you go this direction. You know, that is so great of God to do that for us. What if He just told us the 7,400 good promises, if all this is going to be good in your life? And I will tell you, a lot of the religious world is looking at the good things in life that salvation is to bring you, and it does. But you know what? The Lord wants to warn us in our life with some promises in the Bible that tell me, Dan, I know you got a category in your mind. What I'm thinking about folders in my mind is through the day, whenever I think about things, you know, I can have something, I can have what someone has done wrong to me be all I think about through a day, and it consumes me. You know, by the Lord's help, I can start channeling my thoughts in other directions. I can channel my thoughts to God's promises. So what He's been telling me this week is, Dan, start two categories. One is the good promises that I give you whenever you follow my direction. One is the bad promises. So I was going to ask this question at the beginning. Would you like to be a partaker of all 7,400 promises of the Bible? And, you know, maybe we'd say, yep, I would. Not me. After I've seen that there's a separation of good ones and bad ones, I say I would like to bypass the bad promises that He has done. I'll give you a little example. When I was a boy, Mom and Dad used to make us a promise. They're going to town shopping, and I'm going to bring you back a treat whenever I come home. And I could expect that promise to be fulfilled. I'd call that a good promise. You know what? They had bad promises themselves, and even as a human, they could fulfill them. One of them was when Mom would tell me, if you do that one more time, I'm going to whip you. Maybe y'all were so good that you never heard that in your life. But I would hear it, because pestering was my problem with having brothers and sisters. And pestering can kind of come on real easy, like, and it wears on the parents to the point that finally they come to a point where they draw the line and they say, I'm making you a promise here one more time and I'm going to give you a whooping. You know what? I took that promise serious because that one was going to have a negative impact on my life. There are promises, and I want us to look at the bad ones, and hopefully we'll get to some time to look at the good ones. I want to be able to look at the negative impact that God's promises had on some people. They had a goal in mind, Mom and Dad did. You know, and she told me, if you do that one more time, you're going to get a whipping. You know what? She was trying to head me in a direction that one day as an adult, I would be able to know how to behave myself in a society. Well, I believe the Lord has the same goal for us. And I'd like to look at a verse before we start. Hebrews 12 and 11. You know, when the Lord gives us a chastening, when he gives us a whipping, it's for a purpose. This one says, Hebrews 12 and 11, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, there's something that happens from it. There's a desire that he has. It yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So I have a negative promise I would like for you to look at for a little bit. Solomon was considered the wisest man that ever lived. Says there was none like him before, and there'll be none like him afterwards. Had a lot of wisdom. You know, God gave him a promise one day. He told him, and this is in the 1 Kings, the 3rd chapter, 5th verse. He comes to Solomon and he says, you can ask me anything you want, and I'll give it to you. You know, I could tell my children that, and that's a promise that I wouldn't be able to keep. God could keep his promise, and that's a positive promise right there. You ask what you will, and I'll give it to you. You know, he had some good things come into Solomon's life, and I want to look at a verse in 1 Kings 8 and 55. This is Solomon after he has built the temple, and he's prayed to God, and now he's talking to the congregation. And in the 55th verse, says he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest to his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his prophet, his servant. There hath not failed one word of all of his good promise. You know, at that time, Solomon had quiet in his kingdom. There were no wars going on. There was no trouble happening. There was peace all around him. But you know what? He kept on living. And God comes to him and meets him again. In 1 Kings 9, and starting in the 2nd verse, the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time. Now Solomon has built a house for the Lord. And look at what the Lord's given him again, a positive promise. The Lord said to him, I've heard your prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I've hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. I want to dwell in this house that you have made. But you know what? He goes on down in the 5th verse. He says, I'll establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon all the throne of Israel. You know, God can make to us a positive promise and at the same time give us a negative promise. And it all hinges on this little word, the first two words of the 6th verse. But if. If you're going this way, I'm going to establish my throne here forever. But if you turn from following me, ye or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but if you go and serve other gods, you know, in the same speech, God has given him positive and negative. You know what? He does the same thing for us today. He lets us know, Dan, I tell you what, if you'll follow me close, I've got some positive that I want to give you. Promises by God Almighty that can fulfill them. But if, Dan, you take a different direction, I've got some other promises for you that you'll be able to know will happen. I want to tell you where we're seeing our country today is some of the negative promises that God has said will happen to any people that turn from following him. And he's coming on to Solomon. Solomon, now he's asked for wisdom and he's got it. And God, in the second visit to Solomon, he talks to him different than he did on the first one. The first one, God never said any but ifs, Solomon, if you turn your heart. Now he's saying, Solomon, I'll tell you what, if you allow your heart to be turned, I'm going to give you some negative promises that's going to happen to you. It says, Israel, 7th verse, I'm going to cut off Israel out of the land which I've given them, and this house which I have hallowed for my name. When I was giving you positive promises, Solomon, this same house will I cast out of my sight. And Israel shall be a proverb and a byword. And it says, and at this house in the 8th verse, which is high, this was a house that Solomon built for the Lord. And the Lord was pleased to dwell there, said he would dwell there forever. This house which is high, everyone that passeth by it shall be astonished, and shall hiss, and they shall say, why hath the Lord done this to this house, and to this land, and to this house? And they shall answer, because they forsook the Lord their God. I'm looking at positive promises and negative promises. I'm thankful for both of them, that God is willing to come to me before I make bad decisions to be able to tell me, Dan, in this decision that you've got to make, here's what I want you to be able to get from me. But Dan, you turned down the wrong road, and here's the things that will happen. It's hard for me to imagine that the wisest man that ever lived, after getting this kind of talking from God, would have ever failed. But we go on down into the 9th chapter. So it tells us there, but it goes on even farther. When it goes to the 11th chapter, it tells us that he turned from the Lord. In 11 and 11, the Lord said, and here's his third visit to him now. The Lord said unto Solomon, as much as this is done of thee, thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded thee, I'm going to rend the kingdom from thee. Talk about some negative promises, and God Almighty is able to take the kingdom, and he did. So I look at those, and I think about God, how much he desired that people would be able to turn around, enough that he would give us warning, if you continue down this road, here's what's going to happen. When I looked at Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, he was considered a weeping prophet, because he was sent to the house of Israel to let them know ahead of time, you need to turn. The direction you're going, you need to turn. God will still accept you if you turn. Then it came to a point that it's negative promises. You know what that promise was? You're now in captivity. You will be in captivity for 70 years because I didn't listen on this other side. You know, there's a law of sowing and reaping that is done. I can say, God, I want to read all those 7,000 promises, those good promises that you have for me. Folks, what I need to have is right along beside them with the choices that I'm making every day to realize, you know what, God wants to speak to me about some bad promises, about choices that I can make and directions I can take without his help. There's a verse over in Proverbs. Proverbs 1 and 23. Turn you at my reproof. You know what? That's what God wants to have happen when he tells me, if you go this direction, it's going to cost you. You know, the world around us, all we have to do is stop and take notice at the direction that it's gone. and be able to say, that's too high a price. I don't want to pay that price. This one says, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you. It's a call to each one of us today. When the Lord comes to us and says, you're starting down the wrong road. You know, we don't even have to be talking about sin. We can be talking about where I'm allowing my thoughts to head me, to consume me. I'm faced with this, and I believe we all are. The direction our country is going, I can let that consume my thinking. And the Lord is wanting to let me know, Dan, I got some good promises for you. Yes, you'll be able to see the direction and the cost it is to the world, but I don't have to go that way. When the Lord comes to me at any level, he just wants me to turn at his reproof. His reproof to Solomon was, Solomon, I'm still on your side. Solomon, if you turn your heart toward these gods, I'm going to turn away from this house that you have built, and I wanted to dwell there forever. I believe the Lord does that same thing to us today. He can do it to us individually. He can do it to us as a congregation. You know what? He can do it to us as a nation. All of those tells me something about God. He has a desire that I be able to make heaven my home. He would not even have to warn me. Just let me go my way with no negative promises about it. I'm thankful that he doesn't do it. Over in 2 Corinthians, I think what he wants to have happen to me is when I read these places and I build in my mind, you know what, there's positive promises and I love every one of them. There's also some promises in there that if I turn and make my own decisions without the Lord's help, it can be quite a cost. 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, and in the 11th verse, it talks about sorrowing after a godly sort. And then it says what carefulness it wrought in you. I believe the negative promises that the God tells me, if you turn this way, the price tag it's going to have on it, needs to cause me to walk with a carefulness in my life. That's the desire of it. Those negative promises that came to Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, should have put him on high alert. You know, we have times at 9/11 where our country went on high alert. They shut down all air traffic. You know, that's a pretty big thing. For the whole United States, instantly, air traffic is stopped. Not just for a couple hours, but I think it was for some days. We're on high alert. Solomon, when God visited him that second time and God told him, I'm still on your side, but I want you to watch out for this thing right here. Solomon should have went on high alert and stayed that way the rest of his life. What about for us today? You know, I look at some other scriptures in the Bible that are negative promises. Sister Maxine mentioned it today, but I'd like to look at it again. It's one of the last verses in the Bible. In Revelations 22 and 18, I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. You know what? That's a promise. That's a negative promise. If you take the word of God and you add anything more to it than what God himself had intended it to be, he says, I'm going to add to him the plagues. If any man take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God's going to take away his part out of the book of life. Now, this may be just for the book of Revelations that those two were written for, but I kind of think it would apply for the whole Bible. Dan, be real, real careful that you don't add anything to the word of God more than what God has put in here. And don't take away anything from it. You know, we're living in a time where people take the word of God and say you can go to heaven with sin in your life. You know what the Lord says here? Don't you take away anything out of the book of this life, out of this prophecy, or God's going to take away his part out of the book of life. I'd like to look at a verse in John 8. These are some of the negative promises in John 8 and 21. It says, then said Jesus again to them, I go my way and you'll seek me. You know how many places, how many times there were people that said, I'm the Christ, and pull people off from them. Most of it was, we're going to deliver you from Roman rule. And they were put down. Here it says, I'm going to go my way. You're going to seek me, and you're going to die in your sins. And where I come, where I am, where I go, you cannot come. So when I look at this, that's in John 8 and 21. I'm going my way. Where's Jesus going to? Heaven. And it says, you know what? If you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. So I don't want to add anything to the Word of God or take it away. But I want to realize, Lord, I tell you what, I don't want to let sin be in my life. I want to be able to keep clear and clean before you. There is something else that goes right with that. And I believe it's a promise. Acts 4 and 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So I look at these. I kind of look at that as a promise that God has made. You're not going to be able to find salvation. Not going to be able to make heaven any other way but through Jesus Christ. There's another one that is a promise from God. And it's in Galatians. There are some works of the flesh in Galatians 5 and 19. It says the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And it goes down for several verses talking about the different levels of the works of the flesh. But what I'm interested in is when all those have been told, it comes down here at the end of it. It says, of which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, this is a promise. This is one of the promises of the Word of God. They that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, we can have religious places that say some of these will inherit the kingdom of God. But we don't want to add to or take away from the Word of God. We want to take it just like it is. I don't want to fall. Why is it on this? He's given me some negative promises. I kind of consider that a negative promise. If you do this, you're not going to heaven. You know what? That's God's mercy that he talks to me in language like that. To where I will see the seriousness of walking in a way that'd be acceptable to him. There are some promises in the Bible that in one verse, it includes both the positive and the negative. I'd like to look at one of them. Over in Isaiah, the very first chapter. Isaiah 1 and 18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. That's a positive promise from God. It doesn't matter what level of sin a person has gone to. He can be. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Here's another positive one. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But then here comes a negative promise. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with a sword. The mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. There is a law of sowing and reaping. We find that law over in Galatians, the 6th chapter. And I think that's why the Lord comes along to us to warn us about some negative promises so that I can be ready to make heaven my home. Galatians 6 Galatians. It tells us about sowing and reaping. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. 6 and 7. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. You know, right now it's not positive or negative. It's just telling you, remember, what you sow, you're going to reap. Now look at the positive and the negative. He that soweth to the flesh, here's a promise, he will of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit, here's a positive promise, he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. In one verse is given us a good promise and a bad promise. Now I choose which direction I will go to be able to accept them. And then it says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. In due season we're going to reap if we faint not. That's a positive promise. Remember with the children of Israel? God told them in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy. It starts out almost the first half of that chapter. 14 verses in the first part of that is talking about blessings that are going to come on them. And how did they get those blessings? It tells us pretty easy. It lets us know. Deuteronomy in the 28th chapter and in the first verse. We will find this little word a lot of times in the Bible. It says if. This one starts out. If you will hearken, 28 and 1 of Deuteronomy, hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, I'm going to set thee on high above all nations, and these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if you'll hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. You know, this was a lot of years ago, but I tell you, it still applies to us today. We will have blessings come to us in our life, depending on which way this if in our life goes. If you obey and observe his commandments, and then it went down for 14 verses, you're going to be blessed in temporal things. You're going to be blessed in all these, but it didn't stop there. It went on down in the 15th verse, but it shall come to pass. Here's another promise, and this one is a negative. If you will not hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. And then we see almost word for word those verses being turned around. What could have been a blessing has become a curse in my life. I think there's a lot of instruction for me. And as I had intended at the first of the week, Lord, I want to have all these positive promises from you. I'm not sure we can put a value on how important negative promises are for us. They help to steer us in the right direction. They help to tell us, don't keep going down this way. And that's what it does over here in Deuteronomy 28. The children of Israel, if we could track their story, they would follow the Lord, and he said, nobody will be able to overtake you. And then they would start serving idols. And then God would bring somebody in to overtake them. And the servitude was so tough that in a little while they'd go back to God, please get us out of this, and they repent. And the cycle starts over again. And here these are the warnings for them. It's very positive. I've got blessings that I want to give in your life. And I look at this and I think, you know what, today in 2023, nothing has changed with God. He's got some blessings that he wants to give to the people of God who say, I'll follow you. Show me changes that I need to make in my life, because I want to be able to have positive promises come from you. There is another verse, Deuteronomy 30. Still talking to the children of Israel. 30 and 15. I have set before you this day life and good and death and evil. You know what? That's set before this world. Our nation, our world today is still being held out to us. I've set before you this day life and death. And nobody would say, I'm choosing death. I'd like to have death. Blessing and cursing. Oh, I believe I'd like to have the cursing. Not at all. But then he goes on down and he says, in that I command thee this day, love the Lord thy God, walk in his ways, keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, and the Lord thy God will bless you in the land whether you go to possess it. But then here goes these two words again. But if your heart turns away so that you will not hear, but be drawn away and worship other gods, I denounce to you this day, you'll surely perish. And then it comes up, it kind of concludes it all. I call heaven and earth to record against you this day. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life, so that both you and your seed can live. You know, right choices that we make in our life don't affect just us. It affects our children. It affects those around us. The direction that I'm taking. You know, we have a promise even today. We heard about it this morning. Over in 2 Peter, in the 3rd chapter, it tells us the end of time is coming. And it tells us that there were some people that said, where is the promise of his coming? I've been hearing all my life that the end is coming. And you know what? I have too. When I was a child, I heard ministers preaching the end is very, very near. And I'm 65 years old now, and it hasn't come. In the 3rd chapter, 2 Peter, it says, there's people that will be saying, where's the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. But it tells us in the 10th verse, the day of the Lord will come. It is going to happen. And you know, at 65 years old now, I'm not spending so much time worrying about the end of time, because my end of time is coming. The day of the Lord for me, it's going to come. And there's a reason that the end of time has not come. It says it in the 9th verse. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. He's long-suffering, not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. He's holding it back so that a few more people can be saved. But it's a choice that we make. I was reading over in Jeremiah 29:11. One of the children had it in a Sunday school verse this morning. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. They're thoughts of peace and not of evil. I want to bring you to an expected end. And if you read the 29th chapter of Jeremiah, it is a fulfillment of a negative promise. It's a fulfillment of all the chapters that Jeremiah has been crying out to the people. Turn, turn back, don't keep going. And then finally it came. And God even says in 29th chapter, it wasn't just Nebuchadnezzar that did it. I was the one that helped them to be able to take this over. You know, and when God assists in it, it's going to be done. But what it said was, there were some people, just like we have today in religious movements, there were some prophets that said, you'll be here for 2 years, and then you'll go back home. It's not going to be very long. You know what Jeremiah told them? Don't listen. It's going to be 70 years. God has said it'll be 70 years before you go back. And then he gives this verse. I know the thoughts that I'm thinking of you. They're thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. Can you imagine giving up 70 years of your life while God is trying to bring us as a people to an expected end? It shows us about his mercy to us. So I'd like for us all sometime to be thinking about the promises of God. I used to see on people's table a little thing that looked like a little bread box container, maybe a ceramic. You could lift the lid off of it and pull out a promise. You know what? The negative promises we've just talked about, I don't think any of them were in that box. Those were the positive promises that God gives us. But I think it's good for us in the time that we're living in to be able to realize, you know what, God still, bad promises have nothing to do with whether he can fulfill it or not. it's the negative impact that it can have on my life for not following the good directions that he has for my life. So maybe we will, I don't want to quit though until we start on a little bit of the good promises. Because I tell you, the negative is far outweighed by the positive things that God wants to do for us. So one of the, to me, the most positive promises in the Bible is John 3:16. You know, sometimes we'll say if the verse does not say promise in it, then maybe it's not. I cannot think of a better one in the Bible. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, you know what, that's almost like saying, I've set before you life and death and blessing and cursing. Choose life. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You can't hardly get a more positive promise than that. And it all is determined by the choice that I make in my life. If we could realize how valuable the choices are that we make. If Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, could stray by the choices that he made. And you know what? Those choices, he had to have looked at those and said, this seems like a reasonable choice right here. You know, God had warned the children of Israel, do not marry any one of the heathen. And he told them why. He said, they're going to turn your hearts away from God. You know, if Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived, I really doubt that he had no knowledge of that verse. You know how our human understanding can cause things to go? It said he married a woman. And it, human reasoning would have been a good reason for doing it. There will be no war, no wars with that country, because I'm going to have his grandchildren. He won't fight with us again. But something worse than a war is on the horizon. And God sees it. And he tells Solomon, Solomon, look out. I've got some negative promises for you. And it's all going to be hinging on this choice that you make. For every one of us here today, as we go out through this next week, let's ask the Lord. Lord, you got any negative promises for me? Dan, you have just started in your thinking heading in this direction. If you continue going down that, you know what it says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. That's talking about something very small that's coming into my life, and maybe I justify it today. Maybe it's not even a sin, but it takes me in a direction. Have you ever had somebody do you wrong and it's hard to forgive? You know what? There's some negative promises about that when we think about it in this way. Jesus said, if you do not forgive, you will not be forgiven. That's a promise. You know, I try to stuff all these in this little bread box. I want to pull out a positive promise. There's some that give me some warnings in everyday living that happens to me, that I make a choice. And I want to quickly say, Lord, I want eternal life. I'm going to turn it loose. I'm going to let it go. There are many other positive ones, but we'll stop here. I'd like maybe through this next week, and maybe the Lord would allow us next week, if you will look at the positive promises that God has given us. We're living in a time today where there is much fear about our country and global warming, enough that people say, you know what, if we don't do something drastic within the next 10 years, our earth will be no more. We will have destroyed it. I want to give you a promise before we close. I look over here. When that ark landed and Noah came out, you know, he had to have some fears himself about what the future held. He had never seen it rain himself. And he has just gone through a flood and he just got out of the boat. You know what? There were a couple promises that God made to him. What was one of them? We still get to see it today. It was a positive promise. Noah, just in case you have fears next time you see a storm coming up, I want to tell you something. Look up in the sky. When you see that rainbow, you know that's my promise that I'm giving you. This earth will never be destroyed by a flood again. That's a promise. But here's another promise for us. Next time you hear people talking about the environment and we're going to self-destruct ourselves, let me give you a verse. It's in Genesis 8 and 22. This is God himself. Now, you know, I could make you a promise about this and it wouldn't have any value because I can't uphold it. God can. What does he say? 8 and 22. While the earth remaineth, there's going to be seed time and harvest. There's going to be cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. You know what that means is? God's got it all in his hand. He has got it in control. I can trust him. He made a promise to me. While this earth remains, and you know when the earth no longer remains, it's not going to matter to us anymore about seed time and harvest or summer or winter. While this earth remains, God's got it in control. There are so many other positive promises. You know, if somebody came to you and said, I've got good news and bad news, which do you want first? You know, you might would say, give me the good news and then forget it. I'm out of here. I don't want to hear the other. Well, today we got the bad news first. But you know what? It's really not bad news. If God could send something to me that wakes me up, and if Solomon could have been stirred by that second visit and not built the temples for his heathen wives, get rid of his heathen wives, turn himself back to seeking God, God had already made a promise. I don't know how that would have fit in time, but he told him, he said, your kingdom will last forever. Would we have still been living under that kind of kingdom? God would have still been fulfilling it? I don't know how all that goes, because I know the next one has also a choice to make. But his desire was, I want to always be with you all. I want to dwell in this temple that you have made for me. Folks, he wants to dwell in our temple today. But he's going to thank him when he sends to you a negative promise that tells you, if you continue down this road, it's going to be hurtful to you. It may not be death. It may not be eternal death, but it can be some hardships that we could avoid. Yes. Was that, oh, what peace we often forfeit, oh, what needless pain we bear? That's because we don't take it to God in prayer, but I think also it can be because I don't hear the little checks that come to me from the Lord to be able to direct me. I thank him for the chastening that he brings. No chastening for the present is joyous. Mine wasn't. There were times when mom told me, you do that one more time. And I don't know if I forgot or what, but I did it one more time and I caught it. And she would tell me, I'm doing this because I love you. And I'd be thinking, I don't feel the love there. But you know what she had? They had a goal out in mind, out in the future. If I don't make some changes in this boy, one of these days he's going to be out on his own in society and he's really going to be trouble to people. You know, God's looking at the same thing for us. He wants to be able to mold us in his image, that we be able to be a help in society. I desire your prayers.